We started this series because in Hebrews 12, we read these words from the writer. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, we're in a race. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're in a race. If you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, as you heard last week, you're still dead in your trespasses and sins, and you need a resurrection so that you can get in the race. But aren't we glad that we have a Savior, a Lord, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, though he were dead, or she were dead, yet shall that one live. If you came here this morning and you're spiritually dead, if you're listening this morning and you're spiritually dead, I want you to know there's someone who knows how to raise the dead. He's been doing it both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and he's even willing to do it today in your life if you come to Jesus. And I'll explain a little more of that as we go on. So those of us who have been raised in Christ, those of us who have been given new life in Christ, we're running this race. Life is a race, and we run it by faith. Because as Hebrews says in Hebrews 11, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. But we're running this race. And as we run this race, picture a stadium event. And in that stadium, surrounding the racetrack, are thousands upon thousands upon thousands of witnesses who've already completed the race. They completed their race of faith. And they're in the stands, and they are cheering us on as we run the race. We need to lay aside anything that hinders us. Some of you came in this morning with hindrances. Some of you came in this morning with kind of like the Christmas carol. You're holding chains in your life. And you wonder why you don't have the joy of the Lord. You wonder why the race is tough and the race is hard. Because you're running with chains. You need Jesus to free you from those chains. Just like Paul and Silas, when that earthquake happened in Philippi, their chains fell off. They were free. Some of you are still in prison, and you can't run the race while you're chained. But we're running this race. We need to lay aside those things which hinder us. The race has been marked out before us by God. You might complain about the path he set for you, but he marked it out. And he knows what he's doing better than anyone else. And as this great cloud of witnesses is cheering you and me on, at the finish line there's a throne. And on that throne is the Lord Jesus himself, who is the pioneer and the perfecter, the author and the finisher, the one who has completed the race, never stumbling, never falling. And he is calling us, saying, come on, keep running, keep coming. And he calls us with hands outstretched that have scars in it from a cross, from nails in his hands. Because he endured the cross, scorning its shame because of you. You are the joy set before him. And some of you in chains this morning, some of you listening in chains this morning, there would be nothing that would give him more joy than for you to come to him and say, take away my chains. Raise me from my spiritual death and give me new life in Christ. And so as we come to the end of this series, I want to read to you from Hebrews 11, beginning in verse 35. Because we've already talked about Abel, who finished the race, and Enoch, who finished the race, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Joshua finished a race. We talked about Rahab and Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the widow of Zarephath. We've talked about all these people, but I don't have time to talk about all of them. Neither did the writer of Hebrews. Listen to what he said beginning in verse 35. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that others might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Father God, as we look into your word, as we welcome our last guest from this great cloud of witnesses, help us to hear him and to learn what this passage, what this text, what this whole series means as we sum this up today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please welcome our last cloud witness who is joining us this morning. I've worn this out, I know. I am here to represent the thousands upon thousands of unnamed cloud witnesses who are cheering you on, who suffered for the name of our Lord. I don't think anyone who has come before me has mentioned that the word witness is the Greek word you know is martyr. The Greek word for witness is the word martyr. Not all of us in the great cloud of witnesses saw walls come down. Not all of us in the cloud of witnesses saw battles won, lions mouths shut, children raised from the dead. Not all of us in the cloud of witnesses survived fires and floods. Not all of us in the stands around you saw the miracles of God Almighty. Not all of us. As a matter of fact, most of us suffered and lived a difficult life. I represent those witnesses who were actual martyrs. Those of us who would rather die for our faith than deny our God. Some of us were imprisoned. Some of us were beheaded. Some of us were executed by stoning. Some of us were removed from our homes and our families and spent our remaining days in caves, in deserts, or in the mountains, isolated from our friends, from our families. We are in a section of the stands where cloud witnesses are cheering you on during the most difficult and painful parts of your lives. Like many of you who are running the race of faith, we were looking for something better, a better resurrection. We believe that despite the suffering and tragedy in our lives, God had a better plan, even though we couldn't see it. We lived in a world that was in opposition to God, but we were faithful. We finished the race that was marked out for us. The world was not worthy of us. Did you hear that? The world was not worthy of us. We suffered for our faith. As one of your scholars wrote, faith in God does not guarantee comfort in this world. Did you hear that? Some of you think I belong to God, things should be easy. Faith in God does not guarantee comfort in this world. Such faith does promise plentiful reward in the only world that matters. God's reward is not necessarily here. God's reward is in what we're waiting for, the world to come. Our real home was not in the painful sphere we lived in. But like those cloud witnesses who went before us, we desired a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called our God, for he has prepared for us a city. I speak for those who did not receive the promise. I speak for those who never realized the promise, but we kept running toward it. We kept running toward it. Truly, the world did not deserve us. When they tortured us, when they imprisoned us, when they removed us from our families, when they executed us for our faith, they were really destroying their only hope. Rather than joining us on the race of faith, they chose to follow their own paths. Paths that lead to eternal destruction. Our lives might have ended tragically on this planet, but we entered the very throne room of God. Jesus himself, the one we were looking toward, the pioneer and finisher of this great race, welcomed us into the heavenly stands. We are cloud witnesses. We are cloud witnesses. We are cheering you on as you run the race marked out for you. You have the joy and privilege of knowing more than we did. Do you realize that? You know more about our Lord. You know more about his plan than we did. We could only anticipate a promised Messiah who would free us from the bondage of evil in this world. We only saw the shadow. You have the wonderful opportunity of seeing the reality of Jesus in the light. Therefore, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? Do you understand? Do you understand what we've been saying to you these past weeks as your wonderful pastor invited us here? All of us who've been speaking to you were commended for our faith. But none of us who've been speaking here to you received what was promised like you have the opportunity of receiving. We lived BC. You live AD. You see, you can look back to Jesus who endured the cross, despised its shame. And why did he go through that pain and agony? Because of the joy set before him. And what is that joy? You are his joy. You are his joy. As our friend Paul wrote, "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." We are cheering you on. All of us in the stands are cheering you on. Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Rahab. We're all cheering you on. Even Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah join us in the cheering. David and Samuel, David, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the widow of Zarephath, want to see you finish the marathon of faith. All of us, the unnamed ones, all of us want to see you finish the marathon of faith. And we who are the unnamed martyrs, the cloud witnesses of whom the world was not worthy, want you to complete your race so you can cross the finish line to the one seated there at the right hand of God, our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. All of us agree. Yes, every single cloud witness is cheering from the stands these words: trust God completely. Trust God completely. All of us agree. We're cheering you on. Remember, suffering is not the end of the story. Suffering is not the end of the story. Something better is coming. Do you believe that? Something better than this life is coming. Suffering is not the end of the story. Don't stop running when it gets difficult. Too many people have dropped out of the race from our vantage point in the clouds. Don't drop out of the race. Keep running when it gets difficult. Keep your eyes on Jesus. If you look around at the people who disappoint you, if you look around to the circumstances in which you sometimes dwell, you will drop out of the race. Don't do that. Keep your eyes on Jesus. All of us agree in the clouds. All of us agree. We're cheering with a united voice. Make sure the world is not worthy of you. You see, too many who claim to be followers of our Lord live more like the world. But the world is not supposed to be worthy of you and me. We're to be different. We're to stand out. This world is not your home. Your home is a city not built with human hands. As the Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We all agree. We're cheering you on as you run with perseverance the race marked out for you. Get rid of anything that will trip you up in the race. By God's grace, you will cross the finish line and receive that better inheritance that our Lord has for you. Be encouraged, my friends. If you're in the race of faith, you're not alone. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of cloud witnesses have gone before you. Jesus is our leader. Not only are we cheering you on by his grace and power, not only are we cheering you on, but by his grace and power, he is equipping you to complete the course that he has marked out for you. Keep running. That's my message to you. Keep running. Keep running. Amen? Amen. I think I liked him the best because he was short and sweet. He's going to give me more time to talk to you. Did you hear what he said? Like every cloud witness, you and I need to trust God completely. After all, the race is a race of faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It doesn't matter whether you have a PhD or you didn't make it through the third grade. It's not on your ability. It's not on anything you've done. It's based on trusting God completely. That's faith. And that faith is a gift from Him. You and I need to trust God completely. As I told the children, sometimes we have terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days. But like our martyr, our cloud witness said, remember, suffering is not the end of the story. Something better is coming. Don't assume that because you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you'll never have difficulty. As a matter of fact, what you should assume is that because I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, I'm going to have suffering. We ought to do a series on 1 Peter sometime that talks about how suffering is the badge of a Christian who's walking with the Lord. As I've said from time to time, since I've been here now almost 7 years in a few weeks, 7 years in a few weeks, as I've said, if you haven't had a collision with the devil, maybe you're going in the same direction. You see, suffering sometimes is an attack from the evil one. Sometimes God allows suffering if we're tempted to leave the race, to drop out, to remind us to keep our eyes on Him. And sometimes suffering just happens because we live in a fallen world. Stuff happens. But remember, suffering is not the end of the story. Something better is coming. I had to share with somebody yesterday that the final chapter hasn't been written. Even though they were having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. That's not the end of the story. God has something better. Some of you are going through a very difficult time now, I know. Believe me, I know. But that's not the end of the story. Something better is coming. Remember, this world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Just a passing through. We are pilgrims, not landing on a rock in Plymouth. We're pilgrims heading towards our heavenly city, a city not made with human hands, whose builder and architect is God Himself. Remember, suffering is not the end of the story. Something better is coming. Let me encourage you with this, and this is why we're doing the next series as well. Make sure the world is not worthy of you. Make sure the world is not worthy of you. I'm afraid that too many who claim the name of Christ, the world doesn't even notice a difference. We are to be people who are different. We're not to look good on Sunday and then live like the devil the rest of the week. We are to live as followers of Jesus Christ 24/7, 365, 366 on leap year. Make sure the world is not worthy of you. Make sure the world is not worthy of you. Are you living differently? Are you an ambassador for Jesus Christ? Are you the light and the salt that God has called you to be? Make sure the world is not worthy of you. That means live differently. Not just on Sundays. Not just between 10 and 11:30. 11:35. Make sure you live differently. Every moment God gives you breath. That's why we're going to be talking starting next week what a true disciple of Jesus looks like. So that we don't live like the world. Make sure the world is not worthy of you. And by God's grace, you will cross the finish line and receive your inheritance. By God's grace, you will cross the finish line and receive your inheritance. So many of these followers, these cloud witnesses of whom the world is not worthy, it says they didn't receive what was perfect because they didn't see Jesus. They anticipated Him, but we've seen Jesus. We know He's here. We know He died for our sins, that He rose from the grave. They only lived in the shadows. We live in the light. And by God's grace, you will cross the finish line and receive your inheritance. Now, I want to tell you that it has been a joy to imagine with you, if you will, what these faith heroes of Hebrews 11 would say to us if they had the opportunity. I might have taken a little liberty imagining what they would say to us, but I hope you've seen that everything they've said to us is totally biblical. It might have been done in a creative way, sometimes even in a humorous way, sometimes with the lovely Sarah or Rahab or the widow. Much to her dismay, being so nervous to do that. But my desire was to encourage those of you who are running the race of faith. That was my number one desire, to encourage each and every one of you as you run the race of faith. But perhaps you've been sitting here week after week, or listening to us week after week, and you haven't taken the first step in that race. Now I'm going to speak to you. I want to ask you, can you almost hear? Can you hear the cloud witnesses shouting from the stands? Get in the race! Get in the race! Jesus is calling you! Get on the track! Run to him! Now you might be saying, how do I qualify for this race? A few weeks ago, some of us watched, not the whole thing, but portions of the Boston Marathon. Did you know that you have to qualify to run in the Boston Marathon? You just can't go to Hopkinton and start running 26.2 miles toward Boston. The marathon that happened a few weeks ago, there were 5,062 runners who did meet the qualifications based on time and age. There were 5,062 runners who did meet the qualifications who were not allowed to run because they only have so much space. To enter the Boston Marathon at my age, I would have had to run another marathon in just under 4 hours. And even then, I might not get in. Don't worry, you can have my spot, Pastor Buffour. Since we're close to the same age. But to enter the race of faith, you listening to me? To enter the race of faith, none of us can qualify. None of us can qualify. You can't earn your way into the race of faith. That's where Jesus comes in. That's where Jesus comes in. Faith is the gift that he gives us so we might be able to trust him completely. It's called a gift of grace because we don't deserve it. We simply must receive it. If you have never received this gift of God's grace, would you accept his gift right now? Would you get in the race? Would you let him raise you from the dead? Great. Now you might be asking, how do I do that? How do I do that? That's another great question. You simply accept the gift. You simply accept the gift and let him put you in the race. Now how do you do that? We call it prayer. You accept his gift by prayer. Prayer is what brings us into the presence of God. That's why we need to see more people praying. Because prayer is what brings us into the presence of God. Too many Christians seldom are in the presence of God. When I get the email of that Tuesday prayer meeting and see how many phone numbers are there, I rejoice. But we could get a few more pages of phone numbers. Prayer is being in the presence of God. When we pray on Thursday night, we need more people who want to be in the presence of God rather than the presence of whatever's on TV Thursday night. And you enter the race by prayer. Prayer is just talking to God. It's even more than that. It's living in his presence. And you start the race of faith with words something like this. Jesus, you endured the cross, despising its shame, because you loved me. Because you loved me. You joyfully want to welcome me at the finish line. I will trust you completely and accept the gift of your grace. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. Somehow I hear you calling me to get into the race of faith. And I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. I will run toward you. I will accept your gift of forgiveness and eternal life. I will live so the world will not be worthy of me by your grace. I will follow you to the finish line. Amen. Now, if you could pray, the words aren't as important as the heart. But if you prayed that with all your heart, if you basically have said, to sum it up in just one sentence, Lord Jesus, I need you. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose for me. Put me in the race. You know what I hear? You know what I almost hear? I hear a great cloud of witnesses cheering right now. If one of you, if only one of you in this room, or one of you listening to me by some other means, if one of you entered the race, I hear a great cloud of witnesses cheering and welcoming you into the race of faith. And this morning, for those of you in the room, I'm just going to ask us all to bow our heads. And if you're listening online, I'll put my email address in later on the Facebook page. Those of you listening on the radio, just tune in tomorrow to Searchlight, or you can find me and let me know. But I want to know, do any of you realize this morning that before today you've not been in the race? You might go to church once in a while. You might try and be good. But you realize it's a gift of God, not something we earn. It's not like the Boston Marathon. You don't qualify because you can't qualify. But Jesus would give you a gift of eternal life. And in that prayer we just had up there, we said, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the dead. Somehow I hear you calling me to get into this race of faith, and I say yes, Lord. I say yes, Lord. Would anyone who's here this morning say yes, Lord? I will be in the race of faith. I will give my life to Jesus Christ. Would you just right now, where you are, just quietly, without anybody looking, would you just stand up and then sit down? And what you're telling me is, I have said yes, Lord. I will be in the race of faith. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? I will give my life to Jesus Christ right now. I realize that I have been dead in my trespasses and sins, that I have been lost. I've been trying to do it my way, but I realize that without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please God. And I am ready to enter the race and accept Jesus' gift. Stand right now and say, yes, Jesus. Yes, Lord, I give my life to you. I believe you died for my sins. I believe you rose from the grave. I will follow you the rest of my life. I will run the race until I meet him face to face. Would anybody else stand up and say, yes, Lord? Okay, I see you in the back, the very back. Yes, Lord. Anybody else? I mean, you don't want to end this life without being in the race, because we're running towards an eternal city. Those not in the race are running to an eternal furnace of destruction. Anybody else? Say, one more chance. I don't want to have anybody miss out on this opportunity. So far, there have been four or five of you that have... Can you hear the cloud of witnesses cheering this morning? Can you hear them saying, way to go, join us! Join us, run toward Jesus. Will one more person say, yes, Lord? Yes, Lord. I'm tired of doing it my way. I will follow you all the days of my life. Yes, Lord. Anybody else? Anybody else? If you're watching online, you can type in the comment section right now, yes, Lord. If you prayed with me, if you're giving your life to Jesus, you can say, yes, Lord, right now. For those of you who have stood up here in Randolph, I encourage you to speak with Pastor Barfora or one of the other ministers afterward. It'd be a great time for you to join that Next Steps class next Sunday morning at 9. We'll give you a Bible. We'll give you a book. We'll help you with the manual for the race so you can run with perseverance the race that was marked out for you. Father God, we thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name for those who joined us in the race today. We pray, Lord, if there's anyone else who needs to be part of our race team, that you will speak to now, that they will say yes, Lord, right now. That anyone listening who has been stumbling and falling For those who believe in you, but they've kind of wandered from the track, bring them back. For those who need to make that commitment again, to renew that commitment and get back on the track, Father, work in their hearts as well. And Father, we look forward to the day when we will be part of the great cloud of witnesses, cheering others on who are behind us. So we thank you for those we've met who are before us. And we thank you for those who joined us on the racetrack today. And we rejoice in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.